Media.
Welcome to another episode of The Local Podcast, a podcast about all things local, hosted by Justin April and brought to you by Bar Media.
Bow! What is up? Why are these lines going all over the place?
Looks like we're off to a great start.
Hell yeah. I don't know what anything is. Oh, I think just whenever I... Why? I don't know. Things are crazy at the local office today. I'm actually chilling with Brandon Harrell this morning, and we are talking about all the things. Let's see. We got the Mardi Gras stuff coming up. We'll talk about that later. I've got a ton of travel plans, and I know Brandon Harrell has plenty of experience in the Airbnb world. So we're going to talk about travel tips and whatever other nonsense that pertains to that. Talk about some other side projects he's got going on. But let's see. We know him best for hustling houses, man. What's up? How's that clear to close group going?
Man, we're rocking and rolling.
Screw business. How are you doing, man?
I'm doing good. I was actually trying to remember coming in here if this was my third or fourth time on here. I know it's the first time in the new spot, but couldn't remember.
Yeah, I think it's the third.
Yeah, I couldn't remember.
And then we did that one that was not really a podcast. It was downtown at the... It was like the Welcome to Dothan video.
Yeah.
Like a few years ago.
God, we've done a couple things.
Yeah.
A couple little spots. So.
Constant tomfoolery.
Oh, absolutely.
That's it.
All the time.
If it's not fun, don't do it.
I don't even think we've recorded half the things we do. It's just so we can go and
Well, that's
have
so
fun.
We don't get canceled.
Exactly.
I'm not interested. I already have a wily reputation as it is. I don't need things to be recorded. For proof, you know what I mean?
Yeah, so you're on the Newsmax channel or whatever.
Yeah, that's all I need. Yeah, be on like Trump Nation. Shout out President Trump. If you're listening, and tweet something, man. I'm ready to hear this tweet. I know you've been cooking up something good. But yeah, dude, how's that housing market? It's been all over the place the last few years, huh?
Yeah, it has. It has. You know, we saw some really record numbers for years and years, and you know, interest rates have kind of slowed things down a little bit, but quite honestly, there's still a massive shortage of inventory versus people that need housing. So
yeah.
You know, and that's a national thing, that's not just a local thing. So there's still demand, and you know, when houses are priced right, there's still people getting financed. And what most people will have to look at is, yeah, the interest rates are higher today than what they were,
but they might not be.
But they
and
might
you can
not.
Refi.
But then also, yeah, that's true. That there's an old saying that says, "Date the rate, marry the house."
Yeah,
you know. But also, when you look at it over what the last decade has been, the rates are not really that crazy.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's like I tell everybody, my daughter and her husband, I'm helping them. They just got married a couple months ago.
Mm-hmm.
They were buying a house, and they were just kind of looking at it like, okay, well, we can keep renting, or we can kind of start building our own equity.
Yeah.
And, you know, and it made sense for them to make that move. It may not make sense for everybody in that time, but it did for them. And that's what we try to do is look at it. Does it make sense for you and your family?
That's one of the things, too. Like, a house is 90% of the time the largest purchase you make in your lifetime, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And so, unless you're me, like, I'd be balling. I got 17 helicopters. They're all model. I had to glue them together, but they're...
Local worldwide headquarters.
Yeah, yeah. I got a fleet, bro. You don't even know. But yeah, like a house is usually, unless you're just out of your mind balling, the largest purchase a person makes. So like,
absolutely,
it makes more sense to put money in your own pocket. I mean, to me, like I've said this for years, just having a business focused brain, like I can't not look at a lot of things monetarily. And here's one, actually. This is I'm gonna piss off a lot of people. I feel like if you're paying rent, it's like donating to a cause at Home Depot, right? So Home Depot gets to give your charitable donation under and get their own tax credit for all these dollars that they'd be like, would you like to donate 4 cents to the House of Ruth? Which I'm not saying that all these causes are not super viable causes. I think it's a very creative way for a corporation to get a gigantic tax break.
Yeah, well,
because they're donating money that they didn't actually have to donate.
Yeah. Well, you're donating money to your landlord's pockets.
That's 100% it. And that's what I'm getting at is like
you're
paying your foot in the bill for somebody else is reaping every bit of benefit that your dollars can create.
Absolutely. I mean, and everybody, you got to have a place over your head,
oh,
you know,
for
place
sure.
to crash. But at the same time, if you can do that and you're in a position that you have the credit score, you have the, you know, there's a lot of programs now too that people can go out and buy houses that they didn't think they could.
Dude, absolutely.
But we're not talking like pre-2006 predatory lending where it's like they're just dishing out loans like Oprah. You get a loan, you get a loan, you get a loan. But
well, in our area, because it's still considered like rural, right? Like there's a lot of USDA options out there.
Oh, is absolutely. It USDA? Yeah, we get a lot. Anything outside the city limits pretty much. You know, it's one of those that you can look at for USDA.
Which is basically like a first-time home buyer loan, right? Like it's,
right, with no money down.
Yeah.
And, you know, that it has to meet certain criteria.
Oh,
you,
sure.
Your family has to meet certain financial criteria, but it's just, it's awesome. And I definitely think that a lot of people don't realize, they never thought home ownership was possible.
Yeah.
And then when they get into a house, you know, there's a sense of pride that comes along with that,
100%,
a sense of accomplishment.
Yeah.
But then more importantly, I think I always tell people, you know, any money I've ever invested, large sums of money, has mm-hmm. always been in real estate.
Yeah.
Not because I think that is just the only thing that you can invest in.
Well, it's tangible, and it's the quantity is fixed.
Yeah, and you have an asset there, and that I don't have to go and mine somewhere on a server, or I don't have to trust somebody, or I'm not having to watch the stocks and things like that. I understand real estate. But I always tell people, look at buying a home as an investment.
Mm-hmm.
And you said it best, you know, it's the largest purchase that almost everybody's ever going to make in their lives. So if you're going out there and you're doing things smart, you may think I'm going to be in this house for the next 10 years.
Yeah.
Or this is my forever home.
How many I'm sure this varies greatly from area to area and by individual to individual, but is there a ratio for like people that buy their first home and stay there? I need to look that up.
I'm sure there is. I don't know that number, and I'm not going to act like I do.
Jamie, pull that shit up. I don't have one of those, actually. Sorry.
Yeah, that would be great.
That's, I know.
If you hadn't spent all that money on the helicopters, you could have
if I didn't have all these Harrier jets just chilling in storage, I'd have an assistant that could pull stuff up.
I think it's probably pretty low, though.
Yeah.
Because, I mean...
Well, yeah, nobody's living full term for their mortgage through a house. Like, I mean... There's plenty of people. I would think that those people are probably a little older.
Yeah.
Typically. But, like, usually you get a 3-bedroom, 2-bath house. I'm not saying, like, this is how my brain works. Like, I've got a 3-1 right now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that was fine for me and my wife. But now that we have a kid, and as you get older, you accumulate more nonsense. You get a china cabinet from a great grandmother that passed away. And, like, you've got to put this stuff somewhere. So, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
30 well, years or even 15 years in one house,
no,
that's a long time.
I think it was probably like maybe our parents or our grandparents.
Yeah.
That percentage is probably
homesteading,
has gone
basically.
Way down
yeah.
through the generations. But then if you look at an area like Dothan, there's a lot of transient people that are here, whether it's for the military, for ACOM,
yep.
or for whatever. You know, this is a stepping stone town.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we do see a lot of people come back to Dothan because Dothan's a dope place to be.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of great things here to offer. But for a lot of people, it's not a place that they're going to be here, put down roots, stay here their entire lives. For a lot of people, it is. But,
yeah.
you know, so I think that also kind of changes into things where maybe 40 years ago, that wasn't the norm, where people didn't pick up and kind of, you know, unless you were gypsies, you just kind of stayed in the same place for a lot of your life. And, you know, so I think that has definitely changed the dynamics of it. But, you know, I always tell people, look at it as an investment. If you make a smart buy today, it can set you up for the rest of your life.
Oh, yeah.
If you make a bad buy, it can really handicap you financially for a really long time.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's something that we always try to work with. And, you know, you would ask about like clear to close and stuff. You know, we decided a couple years ago, I was really working really hard building a big real estate business.
Sure.
And for me, it was fun. It was exciting. I was putting out great numbers. But I also realized, man, I'm working.
You're going to wear yourself out, man.
Yeah. I mean, the real estate market was hot and basically having to turn away business because you just couldn't physically handle
right.
it all. So I partnered with two awesome agents, you know, Brandy Dempsey, Neil Simmons.
Mm-hmm.
Both of those agents were putting up big numbers of their own. And so we decided, you know, kind of the old cliche, three's better than one.
Sure.
And so we partnered together and created this team. And it was awesome because we share everything equally, you know, like where if it gets a lead in. So it's great that, you know, if somebody called me and said, hey, can I go see a house? I'm like, I'm sorry, I'm going to be
I'm
on,
wrapped up, but let me,
you know, I'm going to be on the local podcast today. And that's
that most, definitely takes precedent over 100%. Any other all. Yeah. Any yeah. other obligations.
But
shut it down.
It just it allowed us to continue growing our businesses without a drop off in service. And it didn't matter which one of those agents. Our first full year, it was awesome because our first full year in business, we were the number one Century 21 team in the entire state.
Yeah.
And when you compare that to some of these bigger markets.
In Birmingham and like established like 10, 20, 30
oh,
year
yeah.
groups. Like,
I mean, Huntsville, these are huge emerging markets.
Yeah.
And we were able to hold our own against these guys. And so we were very
pleased. And you're only three people.
And we're three people. Some of these teams, we don't know how many are on there. They could be 10-person teams. So we were very happy with it. But at the same time, it never felt overwhelming where it's kind of, you know, it's kind of that thing. If you're going to carry something up a flight of stairs by yourself, it's a pretty daunting task.
Sure.
If you use two or three hands to do it, it
distributes more hands
out.
Makes less work.
Exactly. So it's been great. And, you know, I mean, if you guys look at our ads in the local, a lot of times our marketing is fun.
Yeah.
But that epitomizes who we are as people.
Yeah, you don't want like, I don't know, my personality type, if I go to look at a house and I make like two jokes about something and you look at me like I'm crazy, chances are just out of spite, I'm not buying that house.
Absolutely.
I'm like, man, you ain't getting my commission. Like,
well, it's amazing because you can be professional and you can be an expert in your field.
Sure.
And produce at high volumes, but still have a personality.
Oh, 100%.
Still smile, still have fun. And I think that that's where we find that balance that, you know, we do produce the numbers. We are very professional.
Mm-hmm.
We, you know, do things by the book and how we're supposed to. But we can also do that, and you'll go home and be like, when you do close,
like,
you'll
want
to talk to us
later. Yeah.
Yeah, you want to talk to us after the deal is done. Yep. And a lot of our clients become friends.
Yeah, that's how the local's always been. And that's how, like, I mean, that's how I work as an individual anyway. Like,
right.
I look for people that need what I do or that I need what they do and like just create symbiotic relationships. And like people come to me looking for stuff that I don't even do, but I'm like, yeah, I don't do that, but I'll point you in the right direction. Like I have just with this Mardi Gras nonsense, like I'm involved. I was telling a buddy of mine this earlier. There's so many people that do so many different things within our Mardi Gras crew that people don't see, like, just behind the scenes stuff like poster design or like drawing out the map or like doing building floats for a kid parade. Like I got to MC the kids parade next week. But you don't really see what's going on under the surface. And so like you guys have a ton of stuff going on, like, and being able to split all those tasks makes way more sense than just one person putting their shoulder down and driving themselves bananas trying to get everything done.
Oh, yeah. And what it's also allowed us to do is, you know, there's a percentage of everything we make that we put into a marketing account.
Mm-hmm.
And what that also does for us is allows us to go out and hire a marketing company and to do advertisement and to do things that, you know, like we understand are necessary to our business to grow it and to maintain it. But at the same time, I don't understand Facebook algorithms or Instagram algorithms because they change daily.
Dude, yeah.
I don't understand even like we've gotten into the world of TikTok and Reels and all this stuff. You know, I understand that those are fun and I can sit there like anybody else and just mindlessly
scroll
and watch.
For ages.
You know, watch crap that you don't even get.
Dude, I bought the TikTok sidebar real quick. My wife just doom scrolls TikTok constantly. And they make this thing. It's a Bluetooth remote where you just push a button and it automatically bounces to the next slide. I got my wife one of those for Valentine's Day because why not? It's stupid.
Yeah. I mean, but that is a big part. Like you were saying, they're creating products.
Oh, dude, everybody's soaking in content. You might as well. So I was on the phone yesterday with, I can't remember who it was. But I got sold something. Somebody's trying to sell me something like during the recording of whatever number I had called. They were like, hey, this is your doctor or whatever. Like, you're on hold. And they're like, do you need a new Hyundai Santa Fe? And you're like, what does this have to do with anything? Like, our country is so obsessed with money that you can't do anything without somebody trying to sell you something. You can't pump gas anymore.
No.
You got dudes like talking about Hertz rental car on your ear. Like, dude, everybody's advertising everywhere. I can advertise on Waze, the GPS program. Like, dude, I can do targeted. The way in which I can contact you about buying my service is incredible. And if unless you got a like squad that knows all that stuff, or you're just like ADHD like myself and just stay up 25 hours a day and soak in all this nonsense, like that's tough, man. You can't get out and break through all the minutia and all the noise and like figure out how to get your video to the top.
Well, and that's the thing, because everything, we are a society that craves and desires constant stimulation. We want, you know, that quick hit entertainment.
You need that dopamine, son.
And it's funny because we had recorded, you know, a little peek behind the curtain. We don't record our videos generally like every day. It will gather content and we'll kind of
handful
stockpile.
Of shirts.
Yeah, and we'll stockpile it. And it's one of those things that, you know, the trends are changing daily.
Yeah.
So we may
you might make a video that's obsolete by the time you might
the next
have
day
it scheduled.
Even.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we pretty much trash a lot of our content that never sees the light of day.
Yeah.
We should totally just release a fun, like a YouTube compilation of all those. But I mean, we had recorded a series of videos and then the Reels algorithm changed.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like they were boosting videos that were 3 seconds or less.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, what kind of valuable content can you release in 3 seconds? And what
that's
it is,
like YouTube shorts are like 30 seconds or less.
But I mean, 3 seconds. But the whole concept is they want you people to watch it on repeat.
Yeah.
It's like, and it's graphics.
There's not only that, but like, it's almost like turntables or table times at a restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
So if you've only got 3 seconds and that video only plays twice by default, the next slide's popping up. And so you're running through more content in less time, which makes your availability spots for advertising. You can triple your ad timing by shortening all those content times.
Yeah.
Within the same 5 minutes, you can triple like the amount of ads that are displayed.
Yeah. And it's more revenue for the provider.
Yeah.
You
there's
know?
Ways that you can, once you figure out like the app's motivation and like the different tactics it gets, because that's all it wants. Like all Instagram, all Facebook, all TikTok, like their whole goal is nothing more than to get you to open the app.
Mm-hmm.
And because their whole power and how their whole pricing structure works is if you got people constantly open their app because somebody is like gets a push notification, you can, it's amazing. Like you figure out that motivation, you can maximize. Like I will, for a long time, if you had your notifications turned on and just let them pile up, like your stuff would stay in the feed longer. So it would keep sending you notifications, which benefits the content creator. And also, like, benefits Instagram because you're not opening the ad or the app up. You know what I mean?
But see, that doesn't work for people like me who are OCD about clear notifications.
See?
So, I mean,
it's working.
Yeah. No, I'm so thankful that because of that world, like, I understand the dynamics of it, but I don't understand the day-to-day of it. And I love the fact that we were able to go out and hire – you know, a team that does this and that can represent us. But then we also understand, like, for the ads we do for the local paper. Mm-hmm. All right, well, those are different because that is a print ad.
Yeah, it's going to roll 30 days. Well,
right.
Indefinitely, really, because it's not like we delete them.
But then also, like, okay, well, this is going to be a social media post rather than a video. You know, so we create content that's uniform in voice and in vision, but also unique in the presentation.
Yeah.
And I think that's stuff that I love that we are able to do that as a team and we can have fun. But it's cool too because you get to see our personalities come out. That, you know, when we dropped our first ad, it was a picture of the three of us. You know, we're dressed nice, we're professional looking, we're sitting on a couch and we're laughing.
Mm-hmm.
And it says, why can't real estate be fun?
Yeah.
And we decided to go that route because, you know, there's over 400 realtors in Dothan alone.
Yeah.
And, you know, and there are a lot of fantastic agents. What is going to differentiate us from those agents, because you can look at 50 ads from 50 different agents that
and it's
all
always
look
a head, it's always a generic headshot with a blue background with a gradient,
and a lot of them are 40-year-old headshots.
Oh,
you
yeah,
know,
dude.
Let's just be real.
Well, that too, like, it's wild that just the vast like span of ages wrapped up in the real estate game in Dothan. Like,
that's right.
There's folks that are like in their early 20s that are getting into it, and there's folks that have been doing it for ages that are like in their late 60s ready to retire, and they just sell a couple of houses a year just to keep their license up, basically.
Exactly. And that's, you know, that's what we were up against. So we just said, hey, you know what, during our photo shoots, during the in-between pictures and stuff, we were laughing.
Yeah.
And the picture that we ended up using was actually a candid shot that the photographer grabbed. Mm-hmm. Wasn't staged. It wasn't planned.
Yeah.
It was really a true candid shot because we were just laughing at something that was said or done in between shots.
Yep.
And that became the norm. When we would go in, you know, these photo shoots, sometimes they're 2 hours long.
Yep.
It's pretty tedious and monotonous, but we would find ourselves laughing more.
Yeah.
Than anything.
You might as well make it fun.
Absolutely. So we started rolling with it, you know, and we had some pretty wild photo shoots. We've had serious stuff that we do,
right,
too, and we give quality content. But at the same time, we wanted to be different.
Right. That's so. I mean, that's how you stand out. Like,
yeah,
if everything's cool, then nothing's cool.
That's right. That's right.
So. Lev, what about what else you got going on? I know you jumped back into some pecan business not long ago.
I did. And I guess we should take a couple seconds before that I'm not one of these. I don't care how you say it. You can say it pecan, pecan.
Pecan?
You know.
Yeah, dude.
I'm
from New York, so I just was like, you know, them things.
Yeah. I don't care, but yeah. When I moved to Dothan in 2018, that's all I'd ever done my whole life was in the pecan business. And we were a second generation company. We sold our company in 2014 mm-hmm. to a big company, worked there for a few years, left there in 2018 and had a non-compete. So it's kind of like,
what do I do now?
What do I do? So we moved to Dothan and got into the real estate thing. But, you know, the real estate was going so good and the non-compete had expired, but I was having a great time doing real estate. And my brother came to me and said that he had a group of growers. He had left that company as mm-hmm. well and was on his own. And he had a group of growers that were wanting to start a big co-op.
Yeah.
And co-ops and pecans have never been, you know, there's been some successful ones, but they were not typically like as big as our company was
sure.
previously. And so he said they want to grow this thing to be
legit,
really big.
Yeah.
And it was a great group of growers. And so we sat down and we kind of talked the semantics of it. And honestly, it was the perfect scenario.
Mm-hmm.
We had formed the team. So now I had help with the real estate stuff where I wasn't going to have to make the sacrifice of, okay, well, this thing that I've built for 3 years, I'm just going to have to let it sit over here for a minute.
Yeah.
We were able to simultaneously do it without a drop off. And
yeah.
You know, with the pecan business, I work sales for the company remotely. Mm-hmm. My office is over in Windmill Station. And it's nice because I can do what I do but still practice real estate, still help my customers and clients and
yep.
you know, still kind of keep building that business without having to make the decision one or the other.
Sure.
And you know, when we formed Southern Roots a few years ago, that thing is just taking off. And it's funny because when you look at the numbers, you know, I talked to these customers that have known us for years
mm-hmm.
and they were like, you know, well, you're a startup company. Well, we're not really, because even
though we're just going back to where we were.
We're just kind of picking up where we left off. And you know, I'm only 44 years old, but I've got 25 years of legal working experience
sure.
in the industry. We won't count those years that I was too young to
technically
be on the floor.
You're an intern. That's fine.
You know, but we've got multiple people with 20, 30 years of experience.
Yep.
So it's not your true startup company. We bought our first plant in New Mexico last year. It's fully automated, which is great for naturally, you know, you'd
yeah.
want to have that. But then also in this time, because labor's tough right now.
Oh, 100%.
You know, consistency in people coming to work, you know, people feeling safe to come to work, whatever the situation is, having a fully automated plant reduced our overhead and it helped us to be very competitive. But the best part was, man, we've got, you know, 25, 30 growers currently, and that number continues to grow, and they're spread out from one side of the U.S. to the other. In every producing state, we're partnering with a massive co-op in Mexico as well. Mm-hmm. So we're getting product from all over, you know, Mexico and the U.S., which are the two primary producing regions. But then Chris and I also have great relationships with people in South Africa and Australia, which are other growing regions as well. So it's been a it's been an awesome thing, and it was kind of like for me to come out of quote unquote retirement with the pecan industry, it was going to take the perfect thing, and you know I think that it's one of those things that I'm having more fun with it than I've ever had.
Yeah, that's I mean that's kind of like me in Reset Mercantile. Like it was came out of retirement. Like I did this for X amount of years, and then was like, all right, let's go do something else for a little bit, and then once like. Obviously, I'm not going to be that dude that's just like, I'm going to go into business even though there's one next door. Like, I'm not that dude. So I waited till like, the last skate shop in the area wrapped it up during COVID. And I was like, well, let me sit here for a year and plot this out with a buddy of mine. And, dude, like, about a year later, here I am out of retirement doing hustling skateboards again.
Yeah.
Like, you just go back to what you know and, like, what you enjoyed as a kid, right? Like,
yeah. Well, I think that's it. When you, you know, the old cliche, if you do what you love, you never work a day in your life.
Yeah, dude.
That when I go to the office, I think the best way to put it is we went to a retirement party for one of our customers, mm-hmm. one of the buyers for the customer. And this is a guy we'd worked with for probably about 10 or 15 years. And the longevity for him was in that, it's, that sole department was unique. And at his retirement party, his son gave a speech, and he was referring back to when he was in kindergarten. He said, you know, it was like they wanted you to do a report on what your parents did for a living.
Oh, yeah.
And his answer was, my dad talks on the phone all day with his friends.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's perfect. That's exactly like what I feel like I do.
Yeah.
I mean, I talk on the phone, and I was just in San Diego last week for a big conference. I met with, you know, 15, 20 customers while I was there.
Yep.
And it was amazing how – almost all of those meetings, they didn't start with a handshake. They started with a hug.
Yeah.
You know, because these are people that you've been doing business with, and they've developed a level of trust with your family.
Absolutely.
And, you know, I texted my dad and brothers this morning just that I'm so thankful for the name that we have and the reputation that our name carries in our industry, because it doesn't come easy. You have to work hard, and it can easily be taken
away. And it's even harder
away.
To maintain than it is to get.
Exactly.
People don't understand that either.
Yeah.
Like everybody that's at the top, I mean, you're the focal point, right? So you have more eyeballs when you're at the top than you do anywhere else.
Oh, yeah.
And there's always a hater in the crowd, and I am it. No, I'm just kidding. But like, there's always somebody that's either jealous or like thinks they can do things better than you or doesn't understand the reason that you do things or why you do things a certain way or like whatever. And you're like, yeah, dude, just part of. It's just another ingredient that goes into the sauce that is who I am. Like,
yeah.
You don't have to understand it. Like, we're just going to keep on rolling, and not everybody can be at the top forever. You just stay up as high as you can, as long as you can.
And it's so funny because, you know, the pecan industry in the grand scheme of things, when you look at peanuts and other tree nuts,
yeah.
It's a small, very small industry. But, man, it is one of the most cutthroat. You would think that it is like – I don't know, man. I don't even
cocaine
know what to
compare. Cowboys.
I mean, that's what it feels like because everybody is trying to constantly cut
Peanut
each other
Escobar
down.
Peanut Escobar over here.
Peanut Escobar. I love it. I love it. But, I mean, we just – it's so funny how our industry – there's so many trolls within our industry that just they want to see other people fail. You know, our philosophy was always like, you know what? If business is good for us, it should be good for everybody.
Yeah, if it's not beneficial to everybody at the table, let's not do it.
Yeah.
Right? Like, that's how I've always tried to do everything.
And if business is good for everybody else, that's great for our industry.
Yeah.
It makes it, you know, if growers are making money, processors are making money, customers are getting good value, it's a win-win because the consumer is going to continue to buy our product, and that's only going to create more demand. But unfortunately, there's a lot of opinions and a lot of egos and a lot of
weird useless politics. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. So people, you know, want to kind of control things the way they want to control things. And I love this setup with us because now we're owned by growers, but we're a processor. So we're able to educate growers on our side of the fence. They're able to educate us on their side of the fence, and we're able to help find common ground and what's best truly for the industry. For so it's been such a breath of fresh air.
Right. I need to get some more side hustles. I don't actually. I got offered a job the other day that I'm like, let me know what the numbers are. I'll consider it. It's crazy. Did you have a good Christmas holiday?
Yeah, we did. It was one of the we didn't have to go anywhere for Christmas or Christmas Eve. We sat at the house.
Living the dream.
That was the best. That was the best Christmas present could have gotten.
Did you get any they didn't get you anything really good? Like that you would
Dude, I got like all I honestly to pick one thing, it's tough because it was a great Christmas.
Good deal.
You know, I'm at that age where it's more about the kids.
Oh, dude, yeah.
Like, and they give, you know, it's more about that. So it's kind of like the presents I get because we're at that, you know, the family.
Just watching everybody, yeah.
Yeah, but the family, it's not like they're buying, you know, when you go to this aunt's or this one, you're not getting a present.
No.
Your kids are.
Yeah.
And so you're going to visit and to spend time. But it was funny because Heather and I were laughing after we, you know, as we're opening presents because the kids were done.
Yeah.
And we still had presents to unwrap, and it was unusual. But, of course, it's because they're all, like, teenagers and young adults.
Kids are ripping through those things.
Well, they do, but what they want costs a lot more.
Yeah.
And instead of, like, you know, when you could get away with a $20 toy, and that was, you just made Christmas morning for them, now it's like, oh, I need this video game or this cell phone or whatever.
Yep.
And it's like, well, okay, well, you're getting three presents this year instead of 10.
Yeah, 100%.
Because it cost a lot more.
Yeah.
I'm a bourbon collector and drinker. I got some really good bourbons that I liked. Those were great. I got these fresh kicks I'm wearing.
Oh yeah, them J's.
Shout out to my marketing folks for these fresh ones I got.
Right.
I had those. I had just some awesome presents. My daughter got me an ice maker that makes like the little pebble ice.
That's the ticket. That's the best bourbon ice you can get.
That might have been the best present I got, I think, the whole year.
Once you get old enough, you quit asking for things because you're just like, well, I need this. I'm just going to go get it.
Yeah.
And like for me, it's even weirder because I have a store full of like all my hobbies. And so like I don't need anything. And if I do, I just unlock the door and grab it.
Grab it. Yeah.
So this year for Christmas, I got like the typical like dad socks and like random stuff here and there. But I got Airbnb gift cards, which I did not realize was a thing. Like, if you have people in your family and you don't know what to get them for all the holidays, Airbnb. Like, Airbnb. Hold on, let me turn these off. Sorry, I was about to start playing the outro music super loud. No, Airbnb gift cards, dude. That's the ticket.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't realize that was a thing.
I didn't either.
Yeah.
But I can see where that's extremely valuable because.
Oh, dude, it's great. Like, we travel a ton. Like, we're in New York. Usually, I'm in New York at least three times a year. I'm in Tampa once a year at least. If I take this other job, it's going to get hectic on the travel front. Don't tell my wife. But I don't know. It's a solid gift. And you get to check out. Like, the best part is, like, looking at all the random spots. Like, me and my wife have been sending spots back and forth. And, like, I found one that's in – I don't know where, Georgia, but it is all truck beds with camper shells on it. It's $20 a night, and you sleep in a truck bed with a camper shell. The truck is not there. They have taken these truck beds off the truck frame and elevated them a good, like, 4 feet off the ground.
That's a good thing, because I could see that as, like, a movie premise where they kidnap you way.
They just drive off.
They just drive off in the middle of the night.
Just latch that thing. And just But, dude, like, it's – you find, like – some of the craziest stuff, like spaceships you can stay in. You can stay in like random tree houses.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
If you really break out the big money, like, you can, dude, there's so many random spots. But I know that you've got one. Don't you hustle one of those things?
Yes, I got a couple of them.
Yeah.
And I sell those because I do have a Florida license and sell a lot of those properties. It's funny because all that you mentioned, you can find most of those in houses in Orlando.
Yeah.
Because what a lot of people don't realize is the people like Disney, Universal, SeaWorld, all these guys, most of them don't have just these army of construction crews that build all this stuff.
Sure.
Usually it's third parties that they go out and hire. Well, like, if, you know, when business is big, when theme parks are building rides, they've got a lot of business. But during the downtime, you've got really talented builders and artists and stuff. What are they doing? Well, a lot of them have side hustles where they build these themed rooms and they trick out these houses. And years ago, I'd invested in my first property there, and now we've got an LLC. I've got a great business partner, and we got a couple of these properties. Mm-hmm. But I also sell these houses down there, and we'll help my clients. We'll theme them
Outfit them up. Yeah.
Because the key is, like, if you go to the theme parks, our goal is always, we want the houses, the kids to be pissed off that they've got to go
got
to the theme
to go
park.
To the park. Yeah.
They don't want to leave the arcade or the themed room, because, you know, where the place they slept had a hidden compartment that was a playroom.
Yeah.
And it had a slide that wrapped around, you know, the bedroom.
Yeah.
And just all these crazy things. And it's just funny, because in the old days, it was like, let me just throw a fathead on the wall and slap some paint, and that's good enough. Now it's like, if you don't wow them.
Yeah, if you don't have, like, a Darth Vader suit in that room,
oh,
shut it down.
That moves.
Or a stormtrooper that, like, talks to you and stuff. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And it's so funny, because you're constantly pushing that envelope more and more and more. So, I mean, we love it. And there's some great communities that have, you know, they're gated communities that are zoned for these short-term rentals. Mm-hmm. And it's funny, because, you know, we've got some of these houses will go for $5,000-$6,000 a night.
Yeah.
But then you've got a lot of them that are going, we've got a 5-bed and then in one community, and then a 7-bedroom in another. Well, our 7-bedroom, well, it'll go for about $300 a night.
Mm-hmm.
And you think about a 7-bedroom house, that's two, maybe three families that are splitting that.
Yeah.
That's cheap compared to hotels.
You can't get anywhere else for, what, like $100 a night?
Oh,
not
heck
where
no.
you're like.
Not that you're going to want to stay
not
at.
Not where your stuff's still in your car when you get up.
No, you're going to step on needles and you're, you know, in the parking lot and everything else. But what's so crazy is, and these are houses with full kitchens, with pools, with, you know, theater rooms, with game rooms, obviously with the themed rooms for the kids. And so it's nice when you go. We're going with our family in a couple weeks for a long weekend.
Yep.
Taking, you know, all my kids, my daughter and her husband, and everybody's got their own space. And so when you do, you know, when you go to these, like, theme parks, it's, you know, military style. You're all day, all night. It's hot. You don't want to be, like, crammed
you don't have to
on top of
you also
other.
Don't want to have to be, like, entertained when you get home either.
No, you just want to crash.
Yeah, everybody's there to lounge and have a good time and, like, do as little productivity as possible.
That's right.
Like,
that's
if you've got to drink a cup of coffee on the way home because you know you got to, like, sing and dance for the kids, like, shut it down, man.
I think it's better when you get back that you know you can have a glass of wine or a beer or a bourbon and just chill out and
watch these little maniacs dirty up somebody else's house.
And let them go swim in the pool because most of these, our pools are heated, so you can swim.
Right.
It can be 30 degrees outside, go jump in that jugger.
That's the ticket.
Yeah.
I'm still trying to figure out where to blow these gift cards, but that's maybe I'll creep down to Universal.
Yeah, maybe so. We just booked Airbnb for all of our family. My mom lives up in Murphy, North Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
Retired up there, but she's got a little 2-bedroom cabin. Well, obviously, she's got 3 sons that are, you know, and all their families.
Yeah.
That ain't going to work.
No.
So we rented a Airbnb over in Hiawassee, mm-hmm. which is cool. Beautiful mountain views. But again, great value
per
night. $200, $300, something like that. And we can crash the whole crew.
Split it 3 ways if you need to.
Yeah.
And yeah, dude. It's like, it's just, there's so many good, like, hidden gems too. Like, for, I think about one of my wife's birthdays, we went to, we went to LJ, Georgia.
Oh, yeah.
And we got 2, like, 3-bedroom, 2-bath houses, like, on a river with a hot tub, like, an outdoor, like, pool table, like, full-blown outdoor kitchen. And I was, like, I think once we broke it down to, like, how much each couple paid, it was, like, $50 a night.
Yeah.
It's easy, dude, it's easy to find, like, super awesome spots at where you're spending exponentially less than you would at a hotel room.
That's right.
And, like, having it's a better experience because how many Super 8 motel experiences have you had that you really remember that you can talk about?
That were good.
Yeah.
You might remember them, but not for the right reasons.
But you also ain't going to talk about them at Thanksgiving either. You know what I mean? Like, it's probably some shady shade tree mechanicking going on somewhere in that story. Also, speaking of shade tree mechanicking and G-ing stuff up, dude, Mardi Gras is like 10 minutes away.
It is. I'm excited. This is my first year on the float side as opposed to on the MC side.
Yeah, it's a lot. It's a long day regardless, but yeah.
Yeah.
That float ride is a long one.
Yeah.
There's not a lot of opportunity to, like, take a break either. Like, you're just there.
Yeah.
Like, you can run to the bathroom if you're emceeing it, and, like, your homie, your co-host, Charlene, can, like, she can carry the tune for a minute.
Oh, absolutely.
Like,
absolutely.
She kills it at everything. But, yes, I mean, like, if you just needed to, like, take 10 minutes or, I don't know, maybe you want to smoke a cigar, you can't do that now.
That's
like, right. You're right in the middle of it. Yeah, I kind of miss the emceeing part, honestly.
You're not doing a good job talking me into being excited about the float versus
emceeing
this side.
It is the best. Like, seeing all the kids get stuff, like...
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I give everybody proper grief about most things, but, like, for that, like, I don't... It's worth all the work you do, for sure. And, like, all the money you throw in. It's not... I mean, at the end of the year, when you spread everything out and really look at the big picture, like... It's not a huge investment to be a part of something that's like that fun.
Oh yeah. Well, and I think that this year is getting to be part of Crew to Woo. It's been nice too, just the camaraderie and and the fellowship and community that you get with that group of guys. But I think for me, when I got the invite to make that move, mm-hmm. there was a zero hesitation on my part because even though I've done the other side of it for 3 years and had a great time, because it's always a party when Charlene and I would get together. The part that I loved the most about the parade was the interaction with people. When we would take the wireless mics and we would go down into the crowd and we would ask trivia and we would do giveaways and stuff. And I got, you know, I thought about it, being on the float, that's what you're getting the entire time, essentially, is that FaceTime with the crowd. You're making, you know, talking about making memories with people, something that when 100%. They catch, like when one of them catches something that's really solid.
Yeah.
You know, it's not just a, you know, everybody likes to get a moon pie or some beads, but to get like a golden coin or to get one of these, like.
Well, it's one of those things too. Like, every float kind of does stuff different. Like no floats have identical throws.
Right.
What was it? 2 or 3 years ago? Did not get enough coffee this morning. 2 or 3 years ago, it was some kid's birthday along the route. And I had like a 4.5-foot teddy bear to give to him off of a float where you can't, like, kids can't get that close. So, like, I had to launch this thing and hope that this kid got it.
Yeah, because otherwise it's just going to be a dog pile.
Dude, it was mayhem. And guess what? I gave it to the wrong kid. And then, like, everybody's like, Justin, what are you doing? I was like, I don't know. It's in my way. Like, but, like, being able to just watching kids, like, get hyped on stuff, like, you don't get that every day.
No. And, I mean, we moved to the kind of like Garden District fringe last year. You know, we're kind of on the end of it. And it's cool because the route's going to run really close to our house.
Yeah.
And the fact that I'll get to see my kids from that perspective. I mean, again, my kids are, you know, like preteens and teens.
Yeah.
But it's still a cool thing because they're always excited to see dad in a non-normal dad setting.
Yeah. Like, dad's a rock star, man. Let's look at him go.
And like, how many chances do you get as a parent that you get to take that W like that? You know,
100%. Like, every other time, like, especially when they get that age, like, you're a dork.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, you can't do anything right when they're, once they're, like, anywhere from 13 to, I don't know, when they're 50.
Yes.
You don't
know
they
don't realize is dad is just up there being a big dork and having fun
100%
and hanging out with his friends and you know, and that's, but I love it, and I love the whole parade concept, and I think that the fact that how big it's gotten for Dothan,
it's getting out of hand for
I'm sorry, but we're coming for you, Mobile. We're coming for you, New Orleans. I mean, like, we're there.
I had actually kicked around the idea. I pitched it to a couple dudes, and I haven't run it up the flagpole to see. Also, I probably won't run it. I'll just do it if I decide to do it. I want, like, all the builders and fabricators and, like, super talented creators that we have in the crew to, like, join forces and build one
mega float.
Super mega float and drag that rascal to Mobile, to New Orleans, and, like, all over the place. Because why not? Like, eventually, like, we will have run out of local resources for floats, right? So, like, eventually, either we're going to run out of trailers that we can rip apart and rebuild, or we're going to run out of people that can do that. So we're going to have to start pulling from other towns. Like, Mobile's not that long of a ride. Panama City's definitely not that long of a ride. And, like, the St. Andrews crew down there, they've been asking us to come down for a while. And vice versa. Like, everybody's always welcome to come join ours. Like, it doesn't matter.
That's right.
But, like, I do think having, like, one mega float, like, one Death Star of a float would really...
It's like the Power Rangers when they all combine.
Yeah, that Megazord or whatever nonsense is. Rest in peace. Was it the Black Ranger that died not long ago?
I think so.
I think it was. Shout out the Black Ranger, man. I never thought I'd talk about you on the podcast, but here we are.
You and I get together. It's who knows. It's
dude. Yeah, I need to get Pastor Brother Reverend John Dowdy up here because it's the same way with him. Like,
oh, absolutely.
And I can't remember if we've done a podcast or not.
I can't either.
I don't think we have. I'm gonna call that nerd in a minute to see what I can get scheduled up with him.
Oh yeah, he'll do it. He'll do it. It'll be a good time.
We'll do a recap once the parade's over. We'll get both of you guys in because it's both of your first years riding.
That's right.
And I've been doing this, I feel like, 100 years at this point, but I'll get your dissertation on how everything flowed.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I'm looking forward to it. Definitely going to be a good time. Well, I think the last time I was on your podcast, you dropped the bomb on me that they had canceled the parade that year.
Oof.
And that was crushing. But
yeah,
it was a couple of years back. But
I needed a year off anyway. I had some recovery to do.
Yeah, a little bit, a little bit.
Well, dude, I appreciate you swinging by this morning.
Thanks for having me.
Oh, dude, anytime. Anybody want to hear anybody in particular on this raggedy show, let me know. You can email me at justin@wiregrasslocal.com. Hit us up on social media at wiregrasslocal, or, you know, send me a letter through a carrier pigeon. That's fine, too. All right, be what's happening. I will see y'all next week.
If you're interested in having your story featured on the local podcast, hit us up at wiregrasslocal@gmail.com or give us a shout on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter @thelocalpodcast.